Hello, folks. This is Teresa Roebuck, and I'm the president of the Global Association for Teacher Empowerment. And I'm very pleased to have with us today a guest that I have looked forward to speaking with since I found out she was willing to come and talk with us. At the Global Association for Teacher Empowerment, our goal and mission is to support our nation's teachers in their professional lives. We want to help connect teachers to help them connect their passion to their purpose and increase their power and their authentic power as an educator. So we have on the call today Dr. Yvonne Marie André. She is the founder and the visionary of the Global SchoolNet organization, and the organization specializes in supporting 21st century learning and in improving academic performance through content-driven collaboration. And she accomplishes this in many different ways, including such wonderful projects as the Doors to Diplomacy and International Cyber Fairs. So without any further ado, just a couple of housekeeping notes. This call is being recorded. And if you have any questions for Dr. Andres, we'll have a time for that either during the call when she asks or after her presentation. We'll have a few moments to take any questions that callers might have. And if you are on the line, would you be so kind as to press *6 in order to mute your line so that any background noises where you are will not interfere with our recording and allow everyone to hear Dr. Andres' presentation. So without any further ado, let me welcome Dr. Yvonne Marie Andres. Yvonne, thank you so much for coming with us today and sharing what you know to be an exciting activity and way to learn with online collaborative learning. So if you would, just tell us a little bit about yourself and take it away.
Okay, great. Well, global greetings to everyone participating live today, and also to those folks listening to the playback version of my presentation called Five Powerful Things Teachers Do with Online Collaborative Learning. I'm speaking to you today from sunny San Diego. And as Teresa said, my name is Yvonne Marie Andres, and I'm the president and founder of a nonprofit called GlobalSchoolNet.org. I spent many years in the classroom as an elementary, middle school, and high school teacher. I taught many different things, including GATE, gifted, special education. I was a Title I coordinator. I've taught university courses. So I've really run the gamut of the teaching and learning experience. But for the past 25 years, my passion has been directed at connecting youth from around the globe, structured, supervised online collaborative projects in order to improve their academic performance, because we all know that's important, give them the skills that they will need to be successful in the workforce, and increase their understanding of what it means to be a responsible citizen. That means both locally in their own towns and globally. Today I'm going to give you five reasons why online collaborative learning, or OCL as it's sometimes called, is a powerful and very effective methodology. There'll be time for questions at the end, and I hope you ask me questions. I'm not going to be able to cover everything on this topic in the short amount of time, but I certainly want to answer your questions. So let me start with the number one reason. The number one reason I think that online collaborative learning is important is that it helps improve student academic performance. Online collaborative learning uses a digital version of the constructivist learning model, which is based on four very important concepts. Constructivist learning says that people learn best when they're involved in the construction of their own knowledge, that creating artifacts is the best way to produce evidence of learning, and artifacts can be anything that are tangible and visible, things that can be evaluated such as written reports, artwork, music, web projects, diagrams, podcasts, videos, and so on. That students benefit greatly when they share their work with an audience of their peers in a common learning community, and that students should not only be content creators, they should be content evaluators. Constructivist learning requires that students provide feedback to the content creators. So online collaborative learning uses this constructivist learning model, and by doing so, improves student academic performance within any topic of study. For example, students can share portions of their writing with other students, or they can share entire articles, as they do in our International Newsday project, where students become correspondents. They write articles, editorials, cartoons, things that you would find in a newspaper. They upload those via an online newswire. Their partner classes download the different articles that they want to include in newspapers. They create their newspapers, and then they share them online. We've been running this project now for 20 years. It's wildly successful. There's all kinds of evidence of improved writing skills, among other things as well. Students can also participate in shared data analysis from their science experiments. They can improve their math skills by comparing different statistics, such as sports statistics or grocery prices, as they do in the very, very long-running Global Grocery Project. In that project, we have different items, and students go out and they find out what those items cost in their own town. So, for instance, what does a pound of butter cost, a loaf of bread, a movie ticket, a quart of milk, and so on. And then, of course, even within the same classroom, those prices are going to vary. So the students come in with the prices, and they find them. They can either go shopping themselves. They can look at ads in the newspaper, find out what those prices cost. They can discuss it with their parents. They come in. They bring in the prices of those items, and they're put into an online spreadsheet. And, of course, you have to come up with an average for your class. So what is the typical price of a pound of butter in your town? And then they share that with their partner classes, who can be from anywhere in the world. So they can be in England, in Australia, Romania, Taiwan, China, wherever it happens to be. Now, if they're sharing with schools in another area that use a different measurement system, of course, they're going to have to do the conversions, the metric conversions, and so on. It's an amazingly interesting project where they learn averaging, they learn comparison, they learn even just the local economics, why something costs something in one part of town and costs more in another part of the world, and so on. And then from that, a dialogue begins between the different classes. They can increase their geography skills by participating in different geography games. We've been running, Global SchoolNet's been running a project called GeoGame for about 15 years. And on GeoGame, this is for predominantly elementary school students, although we do have middle school students using this one. They're given a set of clues, and they have to provide what is the nearest river, what is the nearest mountain range, and landmarks, things like that. And all of these go into sort of a game-like format, and then it's like a scavenger hunt. The students have to use maps and atlases trying to figure out what the names of these cities are. And it's very, very popular, and we have it on our website, and teachers are welcome to come and use the Geo game. Students can also co-create music and art. They can practice their language skills. They can learn about world cultures, global diplomacy, and just about anything else. Literally, the list is endless. As a matter of fact, on the Global SchoolNet website, you can find more than 3,000 archived projects that we've collected over the years, covering every topic imaginable. Okay, that was just the first reason. The second reason I think online collaborative learning is important is that it introduces students to skills that they will need to be successful in the workforce. You should be familiar with the Partnership for 21st Century Learning, which is made up of representatives from all of the top corporations, and they have gotten together and they've identified the skills that students need to be successful. Some of these skills are things like working in teams, project management, global awareness, civic responsibility, fiscal responsibility, IT skills, and of course just the basic skills as well. Online collaborative learning allows all of those things to happen. They work in teams within their classroom, and then they work on work in teams with their partner classes. Project management becomes a huge part of this. There isn't a place that you will work, or even in your home, where you're not doing some sort of a project. And how do you budget your time? How do you budget your resources? How do you set your timeline? You know, what is the risk analysis? So a big part of online collaborative learning embraces project learning as well. So project management becomes a huge piece of this. As a matter of fact, one of our partners is the Project Management Institute, which is a professional organization of more than 160,000 project management professionals across the industry. And they're very interested in project-based learning, and they've actually set up a special offshoot called the Project Management Institute Education Foundation to look at project learning in schools. Another skill that they will need in the workforce is being able to work in a geographically dispersed environment. Many businesses have offices that are not located right in the same spot, so they're going to be working with their team members, designing things, producing things, doing budgets, and so on. They may be telecommuting. So what are the skills that they're going to need to be able to work online? They're going to need to be able to work in collaborative documents. We use things like Google Docs and Google Spreadsheet to do that. And together, they will work and create, you know, a variety of different things, and in the process not have to, you know, get in their cars or get on planes and go and fly and spend time traveling. They'll spend that time productively in the work environment. Another thing that OCL does, Online Collaborative Learning does, that prepares them for the workforce is gives them a global awareness. In this day and age, we know that we're all connected. We all know about the world is flat, and that anything that happens in any part of the world, we're going to be affected everywhere. So economics are all tied together. Health issues are all tied together. Environmental issues are all tied together. So connecting your students with students in another part of the world, looking at different issues, whether it be, you know, what are the animals in the zoo, or, you know, what kind of music is local, what kind of art and culture, what are the leadership issues, what are the privacy issues, all of those things are going to make the our future, make our students who will be our future political leaders and business leaders globally aware and more civically responsible. And also mentoring. This is a great way to connect your students with experts in the field, whether they be authors or scientists or explorers or whatever it happens to be. And, you know, as the technology moves more quickly, we need to get more professional development. We need to learn these things, you know, very quickly. And doing it, being able to do it online is a great way to mentor one another. Okay, number three. Online collaborative learning prepares you to be responsible global citizens. Now, I talked a little bit about that in number two, preparing them for the workforce. However, you know, this is a much deeper, richer topic. And Global SchoolNet actually runs two international competition exhibitions in which the aim is to capture best practices. So one of the programs that we've been running for about 15 years is something called CyberFair. CyberFair is based on the concept of a World's Fair. And for many years, countries would come together in a World's Fair location, and they would share their best business practices, they would share their foods, they would share their culture, and people would come and they would learn so much about the rest of the world, and it was just a wonderful showcase for these different countries. 15 years ago, we created an online version of the World's Fair, which we called CyberFair. And the idea was to connect kids with their local community, and this project is for elementary through high school students. And we created eight different categories. We looked at the state frameworks for the major states because we knew that to do something globally, we would have to have, you know, that would have to be aligned to standards. So we came up with common standards across the different states. And from these categories, students go out and they do research about their local leaders, their local history, the local environmental issues, their local culture, art, special populations, music, sports, and so on. And they create a web project from their research. That's part of it. The second part, which we thought was very important, is often you see the final product of student work, but you never know how they got there. So we thought a very important piece would be to create the behind-the-scenes narrative, and we call that the project narrative. So we lead them through a series of questions. What were the technologies they used? How did this support their required coursework? What were the challenges? What did they learn from it? How did the students become ambassadors for their project, and so on? So people that are listening can go to the Global School Net website, and you can look at 14 years of these projects from across the United States and around the world. We've had more than 2.5 million students participate in CyberFair. We have affiliates in other countries that have made this part of their national curriculum. And it's very interesting to compare projects from the United States to Romania to Taiwan to Poland to the Philippines and so on. Now, based on this model, about 6 years ago, we implemented something similar, but this one is focusing on global issues, and it's a program that we run for the State Department, the U.S. State Department. It's called Doors to Diplomacy, and the idea is to get middle school and high school students thinking about international issues that may be controversial depending on what part of the world that you live in. You may have a different opinion. So what we ask them to do is research that topic, and it can be anything from world leadership, environmental issues, peace and security, health issues, and so on. And then present, hopefully, a good project will present both sides of the issue, but then they will take a position, almost like in a debate, they will take a position, and they will say, you know, here's what we feel should be done. So again, getting students involved in the construction of their knowledge and hopefully in the solving of and preventing of future problems. By the way, the Doors to Diplomacy competition is when the students participate in that, they are actually competing for scholarships. The winning teams, each student of the winning team receives a $2,000 scholarship, and the school receives a $1,000 for the work of their coach, the teacher coach. And this is open to any students anywhere in the world. It can be through public schools, private schools, homeschooling, open to all students anywhere. These are two of our longest-running, very, very successful projects. Then a third area that I want to tell you about is something I call online expeditions. We're still on number three here, preparing youth to be responsible global citizens. But the online expeditions opportunity is to connect your students with real explorers that are out there in the field doing real things. For instance, they could be following, one of our projects was North Pole Solo, where they followed a gentleman that was being the first one to travel solo to the North Pole. And each day he would send back his daily reports, images, different calculations, and students could follow along. They could ask him questions. And there's many of these kinds of opportunities. And there'll be some coming up in the future. One of the projects that people that are listening might want to participate in is something called the Undersea Voyager Classroom. And they'll be able to follow Scott Cassell, who is a scientist that will be looking at the quality of our oceans and what's happening. And he's very interested in getting youth involved in that and helping with the scientific experiments that go along with that. Okay, number four. Online collaborative learning helps educators establish valuable professional connections. All right, so in the previous three, I've mostly been focusing on students, but what about the teachers? Well, being part of a online collaborative group can be very helpful to you professionally. You're able to share lesson plans. You can share online and offline resources. Online resources, of course, would be websites, you know, and different articles and so on, but offline resources as well, you know, different places to visit, museums, places you might want to travel to. Very important is to be able to talk about and discuss different assessment and evaluation strategies, because as we move away from standardized testing, you know, into a more enriched alternative assessment modality, we need to know, how do we assess the skills that these students are learning, these 21st century skills that students are learning? And being part of this community with other teachers, and I'm sure if you're a fan of these seminars, you've probably heard others talk about this. You know, there are some very, very rich ways of doing assessment. My favorite is technical troubleshooting tips. So each time you get a new piece of equipment, a new piece of software, or you use a new tool online, try a new program, you know, it's nice to know that there's a team of others out there that you can turn to for help, you know, and somebody probably has already had that problem, that issue, and you can throw that question out to the group and get some information. And, of course, mentoring. Just like students can be mentored from professionals that of a career they may be interested in going into, teachers can be mentored by those that have already been there. You know, often your teaching assignments change from year to year, and it would be very nice that first year to get some mentoring from those that have already been there. Personally, I am part of many groups online. You know, just to name a few, I'm part of this group, GATE, and ISTE, the International Society for Technology and Education. As a matter of fact, we actually, Global SchoolNet, facilitate the online learning awards program for ISTE. And what we're trying to do there is to identify best practices in online learning. So if you're interested in those, you can go to the ISTE website and go to SIGOL, that's SIG Online, and you could look at projects from the past years and this year of identified best practices in online learning. Okay, number five, online collaborative learning makes teaching and learning more enjoyable and relevant. Personally, I believe that one of the biggest reasons that students say school is boring is because their teacher is bored. And there's been so much taken away from the schools. You know, we've had to go back to basics for so long, that it's becoming, you know, not an art and not a craft anymore. And, you know, if the teachers are bored, you know, frankly, the students are going to be bored. It's very hard to be excited about learning or teaching when it's all about memorizing and being tested about information from textbooks or even being tested about information from online resources. You know, for learning to be relevant, there must be opportunities for practical applications. Online collaborative learning opens the doors to those opportunities. It's probably not economically possible for every student to visit the Smithsonian or the Holocaust Museum or the Museum in Washington, D.C., or the San Diego Zoo, or even the Memphis music scene. However, they can go on virtual field trips to those places, and they can work on collaborative projects that produce artifacts and that give evidence of their learning. And they can share those artifacts online with the world. And I have to tell you that many teachers who participate in online collaborative learning tell us that there are so many benefits for both them, their students, and their communities that they would rather leave teaching than give up collaborative learning. As a matter of fact, as we were getting ready for this phone call, I was having that very discussion with Teresa, who said the same thing, that's how she got started. And she was teaching languages, and this was a huge, huge resource. There's so much more that I would like to share with you about this topic of online collaborative learning. But I want to allow some time for questions. And I do invite you to go to the Global SchoolNet website, where you will find, you know, lots of information about the different projects. One of the things, actually, I haven't mentioned that you will find there is something called the Projects Registry, and it's a clearinghouse for projects and partners. So if you're looking for a partner to do a particular kind of project, you can go to the database and you can do a search by subject or by time of the year if you want something in the spring or the fall or in the summer, or if you're looking for some particular kind of collaboration type, or, you know, there's many different ways that you can search by keyword and so on. You can look for projects that already exist. Or if you have an idea for a project and you want to be, you know, your own project coordinator, then you can announce your project through the project's registry. So you're, again, you register, you're led through a series of questions, and that creates what's called a call for collaboration, and that is then distributed out to tens of thousands of teachers through our network. So before I open this up for questions, I would like to leave you with one closing thought as you're listening to all of this. And it is, you didn't hear me talk a lot about the tools or the technology, because I've been doing this for a long time. Even before the web, I was doing collaborative learning when it was just email-based, text-based. So it's not about the tools or the technology. Those will be constantly changing. And if you don't like change, you're probably going to like irrelevance even less. So, Teresa, questions?
Well, I just wanted to let people know how they could get on the line where they could be heard. If you have muted your line, if you would just click or push *6, that would unmute your line and give you an opportunity to ask a question. And we'll open it up for you guys first. I know it's often hard to get online live or on a call live, so we'll see if there's anyone here that has a question. And if not, I do have a couple of questions that we can add to the mix for our listeners of the recorded event. So *6 if you have a question, please. *6. Okay, I don't like to have too much dead air, so I'll go ahead and ask one of my questions, and maybe somebody will get a little more bold between now and then. One of the questions that I do have that always comes up when I talk about online anything are, what are the challenges or what are the problems that can occur? What are the challenges that happen when you're trying to implement online collaboration projects? So can you talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you encounter? Because you've obviously been doing this long enough. I'm sure you've encountered those that are there.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know, I purposely didn't mention those because I wanted to first be the cheerleader for all of this. But, you know, obviously there are some challenges. There are some obstacles. As a matter of fact, I did my doctoral dissertation on what the perceptions of challenges and obstacles were for online collaborative learning, because everybody talks about collaboration, and everybody makes it sound so wonderful. So if that's the case, why isn't everyone doing it, right? So obviously there must be some issues that people have to deal with. And the biggest one is the perception that it is more work. And teachers say, I am already swamped. I already am doing so much. I have absolutely no more time in my day. I cannot even think about learning something new or doing something new. And my response to that, and my response comes from observing thousands of teachers that participate in these projects, is, it really is not more work. It really is less work. It may be a little bit more work right in the beginning because you have to find the project. But if you can think about what you're already having your students do, and then what piece of that, what portions of the work they're already doing, whether it's writing essays or doing science experiments or historical studies, creating music, whatever it happens to be, and share just bits and pieces of that, the best of that. Students love to share their work, their best work. Students are very social, going back again to the constructivist learning model. Sharing pieces of what they're doing with their partner classes, that's no more work for you. I mean, it's just a matter of being able to upload that to a project website, and usually the project coordinator facilitator is going to make that very easy for that to happen. The motivation from that experience is huge for the students, and the payback is huge. And going back to how I got started in all of this, I was working with some very, very underachieving students. This was back in the mid-80s. And they just, they were such a challenge. They were so far behind. They were at least 3 years behind where they should be. And quite frankly, by accident, I discovered through a writing project that I was involved in that when students were able to share their writing with other classrooms instead of just me, the teacher, suddenly there was this great burst of motivation and enthusiasm. And I was able to capitalize in that over the years and really, you know, take it, you know, many steps further to this whole concept of collaborative learning. So the perception that it's more work is really wrong. It's not something you're going to do in addition to what you're already doing. You're taking what the students are already doing. And going back to the essay example, so let's say you have your students write an essay or a report about something. You may ask them, find the best sentence or two, let's say two sentences from your essay, and share that with your partner classes. That alone is a learning experience for the students, because if they can't find a really great sentence in their essay that they want to share with their partner classes, then they probably don't have a really great essay. So that alone is kind of an interesting phenomenon to watch the students go back and revise their work to come up with, you know, their best sentence, their best soundbite that they want to share with their partner classes. Okay, so secondly, an issue today is, I would call it IT issues. The problem with firewalls and different applications being blocked, certainly that's an issue. You want to keep in mind the safety and security of students, although teachers tell me that students or projects that they've been involved with their students, there has been almost none, I mean, relatively no problems with any kind of safety security issues with students. But certainly IT departments tend to be very conservative, and a lot of these applications that allow for interactivity are blocked. And what I've learned from talking to many teachers around the country is the only way to get around that is to talk to your IT department, your school administration, tell them specific sites that you want to make available to your students, and generally they can do that. And Google Docs Google has different applications that you can make available in a closed system just on your own domain. So that really is a workaround solution for that challenge. Well, professional development is interesting because it goes through different renditions. I mean, first there has to be awareness. There has to be awareness that this is something that your teachers actually want and need. So where do they find out about it? They find out about conferences. They find out about, you know, through their colleagues. Often they find out about it from one or two teachers at the school that participate in one of these projects and just love it so much that they talk about it in the staff room and they want to share it. So awareness is the first piece of that. Then, gathering the time to do professional development is always a challenge. So I recommend a combination, a blended learning environment where there's a face-to-face meeting where this is introduced, and that the participants are invested in the professional development and they identify what their goals are, because often when educators go into this online collaborative learning environment, they want to do everything right away, and that's not possible. So I actually lead them through a series of questions. Why are you doing it? What is the value of this collaboration that is not cannot be attained by just a contained classroom experience? So is it to teach your students how to work in teams, in a just geographically dispersed environment? That may be one thing, okay, and that's you would assess that, whether you've achieved that goal in a certain way. Is it to improve their content knowledge? Well, that's, teachers know how to test whether students have learned more content. You know, you do it traditional ways. Is it to give them a global awareness? Well, you're going to assess that differently. Is it to teach them the technology skills? Well, that's going to be something else. So there's all these different aspects of this, and it's unreasonable to think you're going to test for all of these things, give them equal priority. So you need to prioritize those. And then finally, once the professional development is introduced, these topics are introduced, is there ongoing support? And that's very, very important to make sure that once the teachers are involved in these, that there is guided practice and ongoing support. And I have to tell you that sometimes what happens is teachers get so excited about doing this is that they can't control themselves and they want to join every project that they hear about, and then they just become overloaded. It's like going to, you know, one of these all-you-can-eat buffets and having absolutely no control. So, again, that's where, like, a scope and sequence is very, very important as to implementing these projects. And thirdly is the administrative support. Obviously, it's to do something as innovative and important as online collaborative learning, you need to have administrators that are visionaries and understand the importance of this kind of learning methodology. And, you know, perhaps having them listen to this this presentation will help them a little bit. Okay, so those are basically the challenges, but again, after doing this thesis, this study, the conclusion was these challenges are can all be overcome, that the benefits far, far outweigh the challenges.
Absolutely. Of course, you're preaching to the choir with me, obviously, and probably most of the people on this call, but you never know. Maybe they'll get someone else to listen and give it a chance. Think about some of the great opportunities and benefits to online collaborative learning. I know one of the things that for me was exciting when I was teaching online in a video conferencing setup where I actually had live video feed, you know, between my students. It wasn't just asynchronous, which I also do, but this was live synchronous teaching online in different geographic areas, was that just the difference in the cultures from one end of my state to the other, and the idea of, well, this is what's happening here, and this is what we like to do, and just that camaraderie of bringing students in across the state. But you're right, the perception is that kind of teaching is hard and harder, and in reality, it's really not that different. You have to plan for it differently, but it is no harder, and it doesn't take as much time. It's not an adding on of burdens. It's a taking on of opportunities, in my opinion.
I would never have gone down this path if it was harder for me as a teacher. It became my job as a teacher that much easier. I couldn't tell you every day how exciting it was to come in and to have my students like asking me, oh, can we find out, you know, what our partner classes have contributed? You know, we have done so many different kinds of projects. The one that just comes to my mind for some reason, because I just remember the excitement, was something we did called a boomerang story. And it was where my class would write a section of a story, and then we would send it to our partner class. They would write the next section. They would write it back and back and forth, you know, and the story evolved that way. And I have to tell you, I did that one. I was a middle school teacher at the time, and I did that one with another middle school teacher that was just across town. You know, this, again, was in the mid-'80s. So, you know, if it didn't work, we could pick up the phone. We could, you know, drive it over there if we had to. But, you know, I didn't start with, you know, a global project. You know, I really I had very specific goals. I wanted to – it was during the in California. It was a real emphasis on student writing and the writing process and so on. And the idea was to teach students writing skills. And it was just an amazing project. And, it, you know, just made my life as a teacher so much easier.
And I can tell you one thing I can think of immediately just with that, what you just said, in the town where I live, there are 9 elementary schools, there are 2 intermediate schools and 2 middle schools, and then there's one lower high school campus and one upper high school campus. And the kids who have gone through the different schools up to that point in time, they have never met one another. But if the teachers could get on board with it and do collaborative learning, like you say, just across the town, and get these students to feel more connected to one another, when they got to that one school system where they were all commingled, they would no longer feel so alienated from each other. They would feel a bond with that other class or those classes that they had already collaborated with. And I think it would make the transition into that school setting so much easier for the whole for the whole school, not just the students who are involved, but for everyone in the school. I can see
that's absolutely correct. And again, going back to my, you know, if you would have asked me 15, 20 years ago, would I think I'd be running an international organization with 100,000 online educators, I would have thought, you know, you're out of your mind, but because I was teaching middle school. But it was very similar to the experience that you just described. I was teaching at a middle school in a very low socioeconomic area, and the students had, you know, certain reputation. There was a lot of gang activity. You know, there was, like, not a lot of kids going to college, you know, even thinking about college. And the school that we connected with was in a completely different area. It was in, you know, a more wealthy area, you know, a completely different personality. And prior to the students being involved in these collaborative projects, they had certain stereotypes about one another, and they didn't like each other. If they met at the shopping mall, you know, they automatically disliked each other. And what came out of this was an amazing sociological experience, which was they found out they were more common than they were different. And that's a tiny example of what's happening now on a global basis. So students often don't know even a lot about their own community, and that's part of the reason that we introduced this CyberFair program, was to connect kids with their communities, have them understand, you know, what's to showcase their local communities and create that bridge between what's happening with their businesses and their leaders in their community, but be able to be proud of that and share it with the world, and at the same time learn about what's happening in different parts of the world.
And how they might be the same and how they might be different in unique and interesting ways. You mentioned about professional development and how that can be used, how online collaboration can be used, that the professional development needs to be there to help teachers to understand how this can benefit them. And I'm certainly a proponent of that. As a matter of fact, that is often one of the many topics that I do professional development on here in the state when I go out to the educational service cooperatives and work with teachers. But it's also one of the reasons that I started the Global Association for Teacher Empowerment. I really wanted to help, like you were saying, those first-year teachers, especially or novice teachers, anyone in the first, you know, 5 years of teaching, to have a place where they could come and online 24/7, have a place they can ask their questions about teaching, have access to other teachers that are either more experienced than they are or might have some unique perspective that could help them and provide a way for teachers to interact with one another. And we do have a forum and a discussion area, and we have blogs that they can contribute to and they can build their own. We have a foundation set up, a learning management platform, for lack of a better word, where teachers can contribute projects that they worked on. They can ask for input. They can work together collaboratively. It's basically an online coaching environment, and that's one of the things I get very excited about, the idea of helping the new teachers to stay teachers so that they don't feel so stressed and perhaps decide to leave the profession entirely. Come and let someone, you know, help you when you have questions and have problems, and maybe learn some things that will make your teaching less difficult, because I really do. I agree with you entirely. I think in a lot of ways this sort of online collaboration with your students and others makes teaching easier, not harder. I mean, in the long run, it makes teaching so much easier because you're not alone anymore. You're not stuck behind that door wondering, what in the heck am I doing? You know, and you just have someone to connect with, and I think that's huge. So I really appreciate all that you've said today. Now, we've kind of been chattering back and forth. I do want to ask real quickly again if there's anybody has decided they want to ask a question now and give them an opportunity, just in case we have anyone else on the call that's feeling brave enough to step forward. So if you have a question, you can do *6, and if not, do I hear someone?
It doesn't sound like anybody has questions, but I do want to actually address. Is there somebody?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I do want to address actually something that didn't come up that I don't know why I didn't, but it's because it's not an issue for me, but it certainly is a question that does come up. And it's like, if you're going to do these international global projects, how do you deal with the language issue? And certainly that it has always been a challenge, because if you want to communicate with other classrooms where English is not their first language, it's, you know, there's some challenges. So the way that that has been dealt with mostly is that there is usually a common language that's agreed upon. So, you know, if it's an international competition, then generally the common language that's agreed upon is in English, and the schools that do these projects in their own countries, they'll do it in their own language. So as I said, we have affiliates in countries like Taiwan and China and the Philippines and Poland, Romania, Macedonia, Uzbekistan, and so on. And they will conduct their projects and produce their projects in their own language, and then they will translate it into English. But many times the schools in these other countries want their students to be globally competitive. So they're learning English, and they look at it as a great way for them to practice their English language skills and to see what's happening in other schools around the world, because they realize that the economic success of their country lies in the intellectual capital of their youth. Now, having said that, we are experimenting, we have been experimenting actually for 20 years with language translation programs, and they do an okay job, but they're getting better and better, and so that allows some simple communication to be done in whatever language you have, and then use the translation programs to translate that so that you can communicate. And I can say that, you know, over the years that process has really improved. And then you can also carry on projects in other languages. We have quite a few projects where people are communicating in French and Spanish and Chinese and so on. And, you know, that is their goal, to create an immersion experience for the students.
Exactly. And as a language teacher myself, a Spanish teacher, I can certainly appreciate the opportunities for students in the U.S. to collaborate with students in other countries where another language is spoken, to help them to really identify, you know, the places where they need more work, or they, you know, look at the different accents and so on, but to help our students understand that it is necessary, or I think necessary, but certainly optimum, to have more than one language at your, you know, at your call, in order to be competitive in the global environment that's coming, that these students are going to have to deal with. So I certainly agree with that, absolutely.
Well, I know that people are probably wondering where they can get more information, and certainly one place they can start is Global SchoolNet, and we're there to provide as much information as we can on this collaborative learning experience and projects to get started. And that would be the other recommendation that I would make to people that have never done this before, is pick a project that has been run successfully for many years. Don't try something that is new, that nobody's ever done before, because there's an unknown aspect of that, and it may or may not be successful. But we have people that have been running, teachers that have been running projects through our network. They're not necessarily our projects. They're theirs. We just help get the word out for them, and they've been running them for many, many years. And you can go, when you go into the projects registry, it'll indicate how many years a project's been running. For instance, there is a lot of what I call travel buddy projects, and those are great, again, for elementary and some middle school students where, you know, there's some thing, a critter, a stuffed animal, a whatever, and, you know, the Flat Stanley project is like that, you know, whatever these entities are, the students are writing about them as in that perspective, you know, in the third party rather than from their own perspective, and through that process they are able to, sometimes they feel more comfortable in writing. But there's some fabulous travel buddy projects from around the world that people have been running for many, many years.
Cool. What other things could someone do to get started? I know you mentioned that would be something you might want to have, if you had some time, you'd want to talk a little bit more about. I do like the idea of, you know, making sure people understand that they don't have to recreate the wheel, that there are projects out there waiting for them to come and participate. They don't have to know everything, how to do it to start. So can you give us some more information about what else?
Yeah, a great starting place would be a number of years ago, actually, it was right after 9/11, a number of organizations that were already doing these global international projects were invited to Washington, D.C., and we created a consortium called Friendship Through Education. And it's made up of organizations like Global SchoolNet, IRN, EPELS, and other organizations that have had a long history of doing these kinds of collaborative projects. And so, again, if you can get to it through the Global SchoolNet website, or you can just do a search on Friendship Through Education, and it'll pull up. The founding members were a list of 10 organizations, and each one of those organizations runs, their own projects. So there's a huge menu to choose from. And they're all slightly different. So we all work together. We're all supportive of one another. People from their projects participate in ours and back and forth. Another mm-hmm. great place would be to look at some of the winning projects from the ISTE Online Learning Awards activity, because that identifies, and this year's will be very interesting. I don't think they're posted yet, but they're literally from around the world, the educators that will be recognized for their online learning projects. So, yeah, there's no lack. I can tell you that we have, as I said, 100,000 registered online educators that are interested in online collaboration. Now, are they all doing projects every single day? Probably not. But, this is it's a huge community that's out there, and there's a lot of people that are doing these things. They've been out there for a long time, and join one of the communities. Join one. That's probably the best thing to do. I always tell people, if you go to a party, you want to go to that party and kind of just sit and observe for a while until you figure out who you really want to talk to and who you want to have a conversation with. And it's the same way with these online learning communities. Be an observer for a while, see what's going on. Ask some questions, because that's what they're there for. The learning communities are there to support new people that want to participate in these projects.
You mentioned EPALS. I'm very pleased to be able to tell our readers, excuse me, our listeners, that I will be having Rita Oates will be giving us some of her time in September. I believe she's coming to speak with us. So we'll be looking forward to hearing from EPALS founder Rita Oates, or President Rita Oates, in September. So maybe you can come back and listen to that call with us, Dr. Andres. Well, Yvonne, I just am so pleased with the information that you've provided for us today, and I'm so grateful that you've taken time out of your busy day to come and talk with us. And I just want to see if you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with us, and let you know that we very much appreciate what you are doing, and I hope to have lots of links to send links to where they can go from my site to your site, so that they can go back and get information about what we've been talking about today. And I just tell you thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate this.
I love, obviously, this is my passion. I love talking mm-hmm. about it. I love hearing from teachers that actually do these projects and tell me that it's a life-changing experience for them professionally and sometimes even personally. I have students that have gone on and now work for companies like Google that come back and tell me they never would have considered even having those jobs had they not been through these kinds of projects before. So I can tell you, if you're an educator and you really want to make your job more interesting and you want to really prepare your students, you have to look into this. You can't ignore it. So I'll go back to my original quote. You have to jump in. That's the other thing I want to say. It's don't feel overwhelmed. You can jump in at any point. There are a lot of projects that are beginning projects that require, just minimal effort to get involved. So don't think, some huge project to get started.
Yeah, really. Start where you are. Isn't that what we always talk about with education? You take it from where you are and move forward.
Right. Well, and Global SchoolNet does come in and work with school districts that want to build an online collaborative program in their school district or with their school. So, if there's funds to do that, let us know. We would love to come and work with you and customize a program, for your school or your school district.
Absolutely. There's lots of ways that teachers have a voice to ask for these things, but the administration and the schools, districts are not going to know that this is important unless the teachers ask for them and talk about them. So I certainly agree with you there. You need to let it be known that you're interested in this sort of online collaborative work, or, you know, it's, what is it my mother always used to say, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So, if you're a teacher out there, be sure to let your administration know that you do have an interest in this and you do find benefit in it, just like Yvonne's been telling us about today. Well, all right, just for a last few minutes of housekeeping, thank you again, Yvonne, for coming with us today. I know your time is at a premium, so if you'd like to go ahead and hang up, you're perfectly welcome to. I'm just going to let folks know where they can come to the Global Association for Teacher Empowerment and find more information about the call, and links to your website will be there, of course. And to let everyone know that this is a free call. The live calls are free. The call will be recorded and will be available for download or on a CD and transcript version to our members as a benefit of their membership in the association. We also have a special offer going on right now. I have a resource CD for teachers along with a free book that contains some information that's valuable to first-year teachers or new teachers. So that's an offer available on the website right now for that free CD. And the next 100 folks who sign up to ask for that CD with those resources on it will also receive a trial membership in the Global Association for Teacher Empowerment for 2 months, and they can check it out and see if it agrees with their style and is something that they're interested in. And if they are not interested in, they can just let us know, and they can keep the CD and everything, of course, naturally. So, again, this was Teresa Roebuck. I'm president of the Global Association for Teacher Empowerment, and I'm just trying to help teachers to stay teachers. You guys have a great day, and I'll talk to you again sometime. Thanks. Bye-bye.